Open your Bibles with me to Leviticus 22, please. Leviticus 22. I feel like it's been 3 weeks since I've had the privilege to be before you. And if I've not mentioned it since then, we've had a beautiful baby girl since that time. I know I've only mentioned it once or twice, but it's good to be back with you this morning in this capacity. What we're going to be doing this morning is we are going to look at the concept of purity. Purity. A few weeks ago, we finished a 3-month study of the book of Leviticus. And for those of you who were not in that, it was as fun as it sounded. The book of Leviticus is probably the most technical of Bible books because it's written in a legal structure with the dictates of the law rather than a lot of narrative and story in it. And we looked at various concepts in the book of Leviticus and exactly how they relate to us under the new covenant. But one that I didn't give a lot of attention to, but I've thought quite a bit about since the class, is the purity laws. As you go through the book of Leviticus, much of the legal aspects of the book of Leviticus concern purity. Really, chapters 11 through 15 of the book and 20 through 22 are all about purity. And as we look at those purity laws, they really aren't the same for us today, but what's the application for us and what's our relationship with purity? And so the question I want to pose this morning is, what makes us impure in the sight of God? Before we understand exactly how to become pure, I think it's logical for us first to ask the question, what makes us impure? What we're going to do over the next few weeks is, don't worry, we're not going to go into the book of Leviticus that much, but we are going to go into the Bible to see what does the Bible have to say about purity. Purity. So the question again this morning is, what makes us impure in the sight of God? Let's start in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus, God provided very, very clear laws about what profaned. Leviticus 22, verse 1. Leviticus 22, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, so that they may abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so that they may not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Say to them, if any one of your offspring throughout your generations approaches the holy things that the people of Israel dedicates to the Lord while he has an uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. None of the offspring of Aaron who has a leprous disease or a discharge may eat of the holy things until he is clean. Whoever touches anything that is unclean through contact with the dead or a man who has emission of semen, and whoever touches a swarming thing by which he was made unclean or a person from whom may take that uncleanness, whatever his uncleanness may be, that person who touches such a thing shall be unclean until the evening and shall not eat of the unholy things until he has bathed his body in water. God was very specific about what profaned Israel. And in the context of the Old Covenant, and particularly in the context of Leviticus, God was most concerned about the purity of the tabernacle. We understood through that class, the reason the book of Leviticus is so technical is it's all about the protection of the tabernacle. And God is warning them here, do not come to my holy tabernacle and touch that tabernacle in an unclean state. If you have a leprous disease, do not touch my tabernacle. If you have touched a dead carcass, do not come to my tabernacle. If you have touched anything that is unclean, whether an animal or a person, do not come to my tabernacle. It was all about the purity and the protection of the tabernacle. But not only did God provide laws for what profaned, he also provided laws for purification. Verse 7. When the sun goes down, he shall be clean. And afterward, he may eat of the holy things because they are his food. He shall not eat what dies of itself or is torn by beast, so that he makes himself unclean by it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my charge, lest they bear sin for it and die whereby they profane it. I am the Lord who sanctifies them. How are they to be purified? Notice this is going to be extremely important in a minute. Notice verse 6 and 7. They shall be purified by bathing in water, and then let the night pass, and then you're pure. So if you have touched anything unclean, bathe yourself in water, get the impurity off of your skin, become pure, and then you may come and you may eat of the holy bread. So again, under the Levitical law, God provided laws for what profaned and also for how to purify. But here's the question. We do not prohibit individuals from coming into our assembly because they are physically impure. We don't have those type laws today, right? We're certainly not going to keep a leper out of a holy assembly. We're not going to keep someone out of our assembly because they may be a butcher who has touched a dead carcass. We're not going to keep someone out of our assembly who may have a leprous skin spot or who may stink. I mean, seriously. Well, what's the application here? If we as God's peoples today do not have and follow these purity laws, what are they teaching us? What are they teaching us? I want us to now go to Matthew 15, and we'll be in Matthew 15 almost the rest of our time together this morning. Matthew chapter 15. Christ is commenting on these purity laws in Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, Christ is having one of his very too common but famous exchanges with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are trying to charge him and question him about his obedience to and handling of the law of Moses. It tells us in Matthew chapter 15, a battle is going to occur between Jesus and the Pharisees over the commandments of God versus the traditions of men. Let's note, Matthew 15 verse 1. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." Now let's stop there. You'll notice in verse 34 of chapter 14 where Christ is at the land of Gennesaret. Well, these Jews come from Jerusalem. They come from the city to the country for the sole purpose of trying to charge Jesus of breaking the law. Their intent is simply to charge him. And what's their charge? "Your disciples eat with unwashed hands." That's the charge. You eat with unwashed hands. In their eyes, it's impure. Verse 3. Christ answered them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Here the Pharisees charge Jesus and his disciples. "You are impure and you have profaned the holy name of God by eating with unwashed hands." Jesus charges them, "You are not the ones who charge me. I shall charge you. I have not profaned the name of God. You have made void the word of God by binding your commandments, binding your traditions." Now, I want to take a 5-second tangent. This is not the purpose of the sermon this morning, but let's take just a real quick tangent. This story teaches us we must not exalt our traditions over the commandments of God. My desire as a disciple of Jesus Christ is simply to do what Jesus says, to do what his apostles say, to be patterned after him. The traditions of man mean piddly in the sight of our holy God. Our charge in our lives, our charge in our worship, our charge in what we do individually and collectively, it is not to be bound by and dictated by the traditions of men. It must be guided by the commandments of God. Tangent ended. What then does Christ say about the purity? Christ is going to explain true purity beginning in verse 10. He's going to make a distinction between the stomach and the heart. Matthew 15, verse 10. Jesus called the people to him and said, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person." The disciples came and said to him, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes into the mouth proceeds from the heart. And that defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, no, that does not defile anyone." Here Christ makes a distinction between the dirt that goes into the stomach and the filth that comes out of the heart. Which one is true impurity? True impurity is not of the stomach. True purity is of the heart. True purity is of the heart. Before we continue, let me suggest, this has always been true of God. The law was to teach Israel, yes, these physical and fleshly things matter, but the true purity that God wants of you is your heart. That has always been God's desire. God's chief desire of men has never been what comes into the stomach, but his chief desire has always been what flows out of the heart. So here we have a distinction. True purity is not of the stomach. True purity is not of the skin. True purity is not even of our hair patterns. Yes, that could be impurity under the old law. But true purity is of the heart. Why? Well, a couple of reasons I would suggest. Number one, dirt does not defile. Why is the heart the true home of purity and the true center of the purity before God? Well, first, dirt does not defile. Let's look at Matthew 15, verse 11 again. This, I think, is the central text of this whole paragraph. Jesus says, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a person." I want to stop and make a couple of comments about this verse. This is one of the most misused verses among Christians. The way this verse is often quoted is, Jesus says, "It is not what goes into man that defiles him, but what comes out that defiles him." That's not what Jesus said. Again, Jesus did not say, "It is not what goes into man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him that defiles him." What Jesus said is, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of the heart that defiles him." What's his point here? His point, or what comes out of the mouth that defiles him. His point is, it is ultimately the heart that defiles, not dirt. Does it matter what we put into our heart? Absolutely. Does it matter what we fill our minds, our souls, our hearts, our longings? Absolutely. But his point is, it is not the stomach that defiles, it is the heart that defiles. Again, it's critical we see this in the text. It is not the stomach that defiles, it is the heart that defiles. Again, look what the stomach does with dirt. Verse 17. "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is dispelled?" Verse 20. "These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile a person." What's his point here? True purity and true defilement is not from dirt. Because what's the stomach going to do? The stomach's going to take it and it's going to expel it. That's the purpose of the stomach, right? The stomach takes the good nutrients, breaks them down, keeps the good ones, expels the bad ones. What happens if I get a little bit of dirt in my system? I'm going to get a little nasty for a second. You ever found a hair in your food? Ugh, right? I have. And when I find one of my own hairs in my own food, you know what I do? I still eat it. No, Not the hair, but the food. You know why? It's not going to hurt me. God designed me to where a little bit of oil that comes off of one of my hairs is not going to kill me. It may even provide me a little bit of carbs or protein, whatever's in a hair, I have no idea. But ultimately, if I find a little bit of hair in my food, I put it to the side. I still eat it. I'm a slob, I know. But, I mean, it's not going to hurt me. You know why? Because my stomach is just going to expel it. My stomach is made by my great, awesome God who made me in an awesome manner to where I am able, as a human, to keep the good and expel the bad. We're all blessed with that great ability. How great is our awesome God? A little bit of dirt isn't going to defile us. That's not the point. A little bit of dirt isn't going to defile us. And here's what the Pharisees had done. The Pharisees, in their traditions, they had come up with what they called the Midrash. That was their traditions, where they would bind a specific type of hand washing. To a Pharisee, you had to first wash your hands in a certain bowl downward, and then you had to let it drip upward so that the dirt would initially go off that way, and then additional dirt would come off this way. The whole process would at times take 10 minutes just to wash your hands. What they had done is they had taken a simple commandment of God and they had twisted it with their own tradition so that they could be self-righteous in their own eyes. We do not eat dirt. We are pure in the sight of God. Jesus tells them, who cares? It's dirt. Let me tell you a secret. You were made out of the dirt. A little bit of dirt's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. Jesus' point is, purity is not just uncleanness. The context of this whole passage is Matthew 14:36. Here in Matthew 14:36, as Jesus is in the land of the Gennesaret, he says, the text tells us the people implored him that Jesus may only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. What's happening here? Those who are unclean, those who are ceremonially impure, are touching Jesus. What Matthew does in his narrative structure is he demonstrates Jesus could be touched by uncleanness because physical uncleanness is not ultimately what mattered to him. Ultimately, there is a matter that is of far importance to him. So, brethren, let's stop here we are. True purity is not of dirt. It's not of the flesh. How much time on Sunday mornings do we spend getting ready? I mean, I will admit, I'm not going to come in here stinky. Little girl right before I left peed all over the place. I washed my hands. I'm not going to come in here smelling like pee and shake your hands. I have enough sense about me at this point that I'm going to wash my hands and get it off. But let me tell you this. If I come in with a little bit of pee on me, that's not what defiles me. If I come in unshaven, that's not what defiles me. If I come in with just a little bit of hair out of whack, that's not what defiles me. If I come in with my teeth unbrushed, that's not what defiles me. True defilement is not of the dirt. It's not of the flesh. Yet how much time and energy do we spend thinking about that and judging others for it? What then does true defilement come to? True defilement is of the heart. Disgust from the heart is what defiles us. Jesus says in verse 18, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. In the eyes of our awesome, all-knowing God, what defiles us? It is not a little bit of dirt, but it is disgust from the heart. And that needs to be the self-examination that we must make. If we are to be pure in the eyes of God, we must get rid of the disgust that fills our heart. What makes us impure? It is the disgust. It is defilement of the heart. That is what defiles us. And brethren, that's where our concentration and our focus must be. How much time and energy again do we think about on a Sunday morning getting all prettied up versus preparing my heart for God? Leaving my anger at the door. Leaving my slanderous thoughts, leaving them away. Leaving the wrath that has filled me, leaving it away. And coming before my holy God pure. Brethren, how much time do we spend thinking about our diet versus thinking about our spiritual purity? I think all of us as Americans, we live in an age where we are primed to consider nutritional value of everything that goes in our system, right? And no matter how well we may follow a particular diet, all of us are at least cognizant of nutrition that goes into us, right? We consider and plan out. I'm not going to sit around eating Cindy's cinnamon rolls 24/7, even though they're really good. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have some protein. I'm going to have some vitamin A, some vitamin D. I'm going to eat some kale. I'm going to put some good stuff into me because I want my body to function well. But spiritually, how much time do we put into that? How much thought do we put into that? Brethren, we as disciples of Jesus Christ must be on guard for what defiles the heart. And anything that defiles the heart, we need to put it away. We need to put it away. I want to give you two applications that I have made in my own life. Now, let me just make this one introductory comment. I've noted any time I give application, many of you get hung up on the application and you forget the principle. Please don't do that. Let me reemphasize the principle. The principle is anything that defiles my heart will make me impure. Again, that's the principle. Anything that defiles my heart, that is what makes me impure. You'll notice the last thing that Jesus says in this list. Slander. You notice how he starts it? Evil thoughts. Both of these have to do with my heart. With my inside. With my mind. Am I thinking about things that are good and righteous and holy? Or am I thinking about things that are wicked and evil and unrighteous? Am I dwelling on things that are pure and holy in the sight of God? Or am I considering the things that are evil? Whenever I'm sitting by myself, driving down the road, or just thinking, am I dwelling on things that are good and righteous, or am I mad and angry and wrathful and vengeful? I'll admit to you, I've had to do away with much of the media that I used to intake. There wouldn't be cussing. There wouldn't be fornication. But I was just angry. I dwelled on things that were awful. I dwelled on things that were mad. I've had to put them away. Now the application. I used to love and I used to watch Sean Hannity all the time. Politics-wise, I perhaps would agree with a lot. But anytime I would watch him, I would just be angry. If I agreed with him, I was angry at somebody else. If I disagreed with him, I was angry at him. He starts every show with a 10-minute rant about how angry at the world he is. What is anger? Anger is not a virtue. Anger is a vice. I need to put it away. And so for the sake of the purity of my heart, I've had to put it away. I've had to put it away. There's a site on the internet, BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed has all those really cool quizzes about, you know, take this, answer these 7 questions and we'll tell you what animal we are. Answer these 14 questions, we'll tell you what Harry Potter house you're in. Answer these 5 things and we'll tell you what animal you should have been in a past life 20 years ago. That's BuzzFeed. Some of those that are just mindless to take. But I found every time I went to the homepage of that site, it was filled with sex. It was filled with anger. It was filled with blasphemy against the name of our holy God. It was filled with utter trash. What business do I as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, have putting myself in that context? None. It was defiling my heart. I've had to put it away. I should have done it a long time ago. But it defiled me. It made me impure for far too long. I've had to put it away. Brethren, whatever defiles you, put it away. If it's Netflix, put it away. If it's Fox News, put it away. If it's CNN, put it away. If it's HGTV and it's making you covetous, put it away. Do not be defiled by impurity of the heart. Do not feed your heart spiritual trash. Feed your heart things that are good and loving and holy and righteous. Let us be pure in the sight of our God. Because ultimately, the heart is what matters. Because the heart is what makes us pure. I want us to note one other context before we close. In Matthew chapter 23, Christ is having another of his battles with the Jews. And here in Matthew 23, he absolutely lets them have it. This is the most direct Jesus ever gets. He says in Matthew 23:25, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and plate, then the outside may be clean." Is this true of any of us? Do we spend so much time thinking about the external, thinking about the outside of the cup, that we never take the time to wash the inside of a cup? You can do that if you want. I mean, if you have a coffee cup, you can clean the outside and make it look really good, but never give beans to what's really on the bottom of the cup. Spiritually, do we do the same? Sunday mornings, do we spend 20, 30 minutes, an hour putting on makeup, putting on our dresses, making ourselves all prettied up, putting the gel in our hair, shaving, do whatever it is we need to make ourselves look pretty, make ourselves look good? Brother, when's the last time on a Sunday morning you stopped and you prayed before you got ready? God, may I come to you pure this day. God, may I come to you holy this day. God, may I come to you righteous this day. If we come in here looking all prettied up and clean, but we never get rid of the greed and self-indulgence and covetousness and sexual immorality and wrath and vengeful and every other unrighteous thing that can fill the heart of man, we are hypocrites in the sight of God. Hypocrites. We have to clean the inside of ourselves. We have to clean the heart. And until the heart is clean, the outside doesn't matter one little bit. Our hearts must be clean. So let's then answer our question. What makes us impure in the sight of God? Ultimately, defilement of the heart, not dirt of the flesh. That is what makes us impure. Again, it is not the dirt of the flesh, but it's defilement of the heart. That's what makes us impure. Get out your songbooks, please. Purity is like sanctification. It's a process. Purity is something of a work that is never really complete. So long in this life we exist, we can be purified. And really, the whole purpose of this life is to purify us for heaven. Brethren, I would ask you, what do you need to put away in your life? Please do not get so lost in my personal application that you fail to make application in your own life. If there is something that is making you habitually angry, put it away. If there is a show that is making you covetous, pull it away. Put it away. If there is a mall, if there is a store at the mall that makes you greedy, put it away. If there is a radio station that makes you just wrathful, put it away. If there's a website that is just making you constantly angry and constantly sexually immoral and constantly covetous, put it away. May we be pure in heart. May we be holy. And may we be righteous in the sight of our holy God. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to become pure. I've not talked about this morning. This morning's been the bad news. This morning has been what makes us impure. We've looked at the negative side of purity this morning. Next week what we're going to do is we're going to look at the positive side of purity. We've talked this morning about what makes us impure. Next week what I want to do is I want to talk about how to make us pure. But as a very quick overview of that lesson, Jesus is the only one that can purify us. His righteous, holy blood can purify us. And if you need access to His holy blood by the waters of baptism to wash away the sins of the flesh and to live a life of purity in the sight of holy God, and you need to come to Him this very morning, come forward while we stand and sing.